Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, July 10th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're at page 92, the second paragraph, continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness. Reading through six sentences ending, but you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. Reading and commenting on those six sentences only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Reader of the text, Abby D., Lorraine N., and Cheryl S. The reference number for Sunday, July 9th, is 20,425. That's 20425. And for this morning, Monday, July 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,426. That's 20426. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Alex K. and Reggie O. will do the announcements. Thank you so much to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, Justine, compulsive overeater. Are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the LA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every LA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 92, the second paragraph, continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, reading through 6 sentences ending with, but you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution, reading and commenting on these 6 sentences only. I will now ask Abby D. to begin reading and share for us, please.
Hi, good morning. Abby D., recovered in Michigan. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. All right. Again, I'm Abby. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in bulimic in Michigan. Grateful to be here today. And this paragraph, what stands out to me is like, first, the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. And having alcoholism, the ism is that I have, especially for me, what resonates is the mind that accompanies it. So I have this mind that just keeps going and going and going and tells me things like I'm not enough, I'm unique, I'm the only one that's struggling, you know, these things that I can tell myself. And that is the ism. So I can stop eating and then I can have those thoughts. And I think it's important to speak from our personal experience and be sharing those with others because it's about identification, about people saying, oh yeah, me too. I have that too. And that someone sharing their experience, to me, it means a lot more than someone just telling me, you know, this is wrong what you're doing, or, you know, a doctor, a family member, someone who doesn't have this disease, it pretty much just lowers, like, I just feel worse about myself. But when someone shares some personal experience about things that they're thinking, things that they have felt, things that they've done, I'm all in. My ears are open and I am ready to listen and I am saying me too. That happened to me too. And it's like to be able to hear someone sharing something that I can relate so much to is everything, because then I don't feel alone. I don't feel like I'm not enough. I don't feel unique. I don't feel like I'm the only one, which my disease tells me before I hear someone else sharing that same thing. So, you know, I need to hear from someone else who's experienced it, and it shows me I need to also share my story. I need to share with other people what's going on in my mind, what I've been feeling, what I've thought. And then most importantly, like, I offer a solution. And, you know, to share it to then not only, you know, a doctor, someone can tell me the problem, a family member can tell me the problem, like a lot of people can tell me the problem, but when I hear someone who has lived it and experienced the solution, I'm all in, I'm all ears, I'm ready to listen. And you know, I think it's beautiful. I have so many Ebbies in this program who are teaching me one day at a time how to overcome these thoughts and definitely the mind which accompanies alcoholism. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Abby D., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these six sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order to, that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Wendy B.
Bruce E. and Wendy B. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Io A. from Southern California.
Io A. Who else would like to share? Okay, we'll start with this lineup, and then we will allow others to chime in. Bruce E., please share with us, followed by Wendy B., and then Io will share. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, it's Bruce E. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, recovered food addict. And what I got out of the reading was two things. There's a lot in there, but two things: illness and solution. That we have the solution, and I have an illness. And I'll be running into people that are also food addicts that have the illness. And so I'm unique in that respect, in that using sugar and other sugar products affect me differently than the average person, you know. So I have a different reaction to those things than others have. So I'm unique in that respect. And I'm glad I recognize that, because I have an illness, you know. And using sugar and other items, that makes me sick. That triggers the illness. And then I call the medical model, or the illness model, when I use those substances, those alcoholic substances, it triggers the allergy. I immediately feel allergic to them. I have the craving, and then the obsession and compulsion comes in. So first the craving, the allergy, then the craving, then the obsession and compulsion. So that's the medical model. That's the illness to me. That's what I see as the illness. So, but how do I get set free from that? By abstinence and working the steps of the sponsor. That's how I get set free from that. And that's how I got recovered. So the solution, I think that's the solution, is to go to meetings, read the literature, work with the sponsor, and get recovered. That's the solution. So I have the solution that I can tell other people about it. But I have to be a little careful, you know, that I don't speak down to anybody or let my ego, you know, get out of whack. So I'm grateful that I know this much, and I have to talk to people, have to be in contact with people. I'll be calling some people today and, you know, reading some literature today and talking to somebody about it. So, you know, it works. So that's the illness. That's the solution. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Wendy B., please share with us, followed by IOA, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, where it says, keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. And that's because, you know, I have a message of depth and weight I can share, you know, what it was like, you know, before recovery, what happened, and what it's like now. And, you know, what it was like are the conditions of my body and my mind that brought me to my bottom. You know, I can share about my hopelessness, you know, about the uncomfortableness of being in my own skin, you know, the compulsion to make choices that weren't in my best interest, you know, the lack of power to follow through on my intentions, you know, seeing the consequence of my poor choices all around me, but having no ability to follow through on making better choices. And, you know, I can really identify with the big book where it says, you know, I passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid. I had but two alternatives. One was to go on in my disease to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of my intolerable situation as best I could, you know, blotting it out with my substance. And the other choice was to accept spiritual help. And so accepting spiritual help is my solution, you know, that I offer to others, you know, who've come to their bottom, you know, and our bottoms are all, you know, they're not all the same. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't have to go down as far as others have, you know, before we admit defeat. You know, we can see the direction we're heading and we can jump off the train and ask for help, you know, and I'm just so grateful for being offered this solution myself, you know, out of my desperate condition. And, you know, I have the privilege and the honor to share it with others. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. IOA from California, please share with us. And if you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 92, the second paragraph. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, reading through six sentences ending with, but you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. And we're reading and commenting on those six sentences only today. So IOA, please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Hi, greetings. This is IOA from Southern California in Irvine. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful. What I heard in this reading was hopelessness and hope. And I just wanted to share that this weekend I went to the Region 2 convention in Costa Mesa, which was like 10 minutes from where I live, and I was really grateful to be able to attend. Because there are lots and lots of people sharing about hopelessness and then sharing about hope. And one of the things that happened to me was I realized that I have to honor my time in this program, and that part of what's making it so difficult for me to think about myself as a sponsor is I've been seeing myself as a program failure because I've relapsed. But part of my experience in this program, part of my hopelessness and hope in this program is my relapse experience. And I'm very grateful. I've lost 175 pounds in this program since 1997. And that's the truth, even though I'm just coming back from a 10-year relapse. And in the last 4 months, I've been able to get abstinent, work the 12 steps, and I just need to embrace that I can be of service to others and share my experience, strength, and hope. And a newcomer or a person in program who's still suffering might benefit from my experience. And that's really what the reading like was highlighting for me, that I can't share another person's program. I can't share the way someone else does it. But I can share all the things I tried, all the things I resisted. I can share my own self-will and program and out of program, and share that once I connected to the Most High, and once I connected to people in the program, I was able to surrender. And that's something I heard this weekend, like with my background, I'm always looking for the right answer. And when there's a diverse number of answers where people all end up in the same place in recovery, like it's uncomfortable for me. And what I realized every time someone spoke and they had recovery and they lost 200 pounds or they've been in program for 45 years and none of their stories were the same, but they did have that same hopelessness and they gave that same hope. And I just really latched on to that. So I just want to say to the newcomer that there's a lot of hopelessness and death associated with this disease, but every morning I hear on this phone call and other meetings I go to and in the literature, I hear hope. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, IOA from California. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these six sentences at the top of page 92, starting with, continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, ending, but you may talk about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. So who would like to share on these sentences? Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Mo
Tom
H.
L.
Mo H. And was that Tom L?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sherry
William
M.
W.
Sharon M.
Sherry M. Yes, thank you.
Sherry M. Okay. And who is the gentleman's voice?
William W.
William W. Thank you.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Okay, we'll stop there. I have Mo H., Tom L., Sherry M., William W., and Sandy K. Mo H., please share with us.
Yes, good morning, Dawn. Thank you very much for your service. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. All right, so, you know, the guys that wrote this book, Bill that wrote this book, you know, they were salesmen, and they were really trying to sell a point. And, you know, they have the words, I have these words highlighted, continue, talk, keep, and explain. I mean, they give us clear cut. We are given clear cut directions of how to talk with somebody. And, you know, I don't remember anybody talking to me like that outside of the rooms, but yes, inside of the rooms, I heard that message. That I had an illness of the mind. You know, it starts in my mind, as I heard on the first share. It starts in my mind, and then it takes over my body, and I can't stop. You know, once I start, I can't stop, and I can't stop myself from starting. That is so true. So I am going to continue to be working this program as I go away on vacation this week. And it's a place where I lost my abstinence 2 years ago, but I am in a much different place today than I was then. And I will use this Step 12 tool, giving service. I will make outreach calls from where I am. I will look up meetings where I'm going to be and see if I can get myself to a meeting. You know, and carrying the message, that's what keeps me abstinent, talking to somebody who is in the food, in the disease, and they can't stop. I mean, I get phone calls. I can't stop. How do I stop? And, you know, I try to give them some directions like this. You know, I talk about myself and how I've had many relapses, many slips, and I couldn't stop. And I made those same phone calls. Help me. And the people on the other end did. They were a big help to me and got me going again.
And it's been a gift to have those people available for me, you know, when I'm in my disease. So it's very important for me to keep on the front lines, which this is what step 12 is, keep myself on the front lines and keep working my program, because my program does not take a vacation. It is, you know, it's going to be with me on my vacation. So I have my food planned for the airplane, 3 meals, in case I get stuck someplace. I can grocery shop when I get there. I'm bringing my scale and all that I need to keep on the front lines, to keep myself, you know, in recovery so I can be of help to somebody else. And I will see you guys when I get back. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Tom L., please share with us, followed by Sherry M.
Hey, this is Tom. Good morning, everyone. Compulsive overeater here in California. This is my driving meeting, so I pulled over. I want to give my full attention to this. This paragraph says, from my own experience. So I can say, you're a compulsive overeater. You're fat. You look terrible. You know, it's you talk about medical problems. It's you. It's all your problems. You should do what I say. I think that was Bill's method for the first 6 months when nobody got sober but him. I mean, it'll help me, I guess. But it's not entertaining for anybody else. My current sponsor, we knew each other for 20 years. By the way, for the last several speakers, I think I've met everyone except Wendy B. at various, you know, face-to-face functions over the years. And it's just, you know, I keep coming back because I need this, and you keep coming back because you need it. It's wonderful fellowship to be a part of. But how do I talk to someone who hasn't got it yet? The queer mental twist. I tried so hard. I was very disciplined. I've lost hundreds of pounds over and over and over again. I've sometimes had my life in check. You know, I was able to get a good job, you know, be with people I wanted to be with, had hobbies, but there was always that frenetic quality that it was never quite enough. And then that queer mental twist where, you know, here I am in the food again, hiding in my apartment, you know, can't get to work, can't pick up the phone when my mom calls. Every, you know, the blinds are drawn, you know, I'm living a morally bankrupt life. Don't want to do this, but, you know, once I start again. And my current sponsor, we knew each other for 20 years. We had been in relapse, you know, seeing each other in relapse for a lot of years. When I came back after 3 or 4 years of relapse, he had 6 years, 5, 6 years. And he didn't even have to talk to me. He just said, you don't have to convince me you're a compulsive overeater, Tom. You didn't even have to say those words. He just described the darkness. His own hell that he escaped five, 6 years before. And he says, we're going to go through this book. And you can do it or not. I have to do it because I don't want to go back to the darkness. And there is light. There is light. There is hope. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll start driving again.
Thank you so much, Tom L. Sherry M., please share with us, followed by William W.
Hi there, this is Sherry M., and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service today. And this is such an important paragraph in the big book. This was the turning point for me after being in the program and in OA for about, I guess it was about 15 years at the time before I found Vision for You. And up until that point, I was convinced that the reason why I kept going back to food was because I was abused as a child by my father, by my stepfather, abandoned by my mother. And I really felt that I was eating over emotions. And you could not have convinced me otherwise until the woman that I was working with, the sponsor, said to me, basically, has anything you've ever done ever gotten you recovered? And that was a really good question. No. Okay, are you willing to believe that maybe you have a disease that's deadly, permanent, progressive, and fatal? Yes, I'm willing to believe that. Okay, are you willing to get entirely abstinent and then work these steps like your hair's on fire? Yes.
went through the steps quickly, and then all of a sudden I got rocketed into a fourth dimension of being in a recovered state, free and clear, as if this disease did not exist, all because of a vision for you. Still had the abuse in my background, and realized that that was not the reason why I kept going back to the food. It was because I had a mental obsession, and that's the unmanageability. That's the second part. Food is not my problem. It's the living the unmanageable life and not being able to live. But then I got recovered in a vision for you and was recovered for about 3 years and was able to go through husband's illness, many, many deaths, job change, career change, financial problems, and you name it, without a thought in my mind of ever going to the food. And then I moved to another state where they didn't have any meetings and didn't have cell reception, and I thought it would be a good idea for me to let my two sponsees go at the time until I got settled, you know, in quotation marks. And because I was so connected to God, I really thought I would be okay. But just like we can predict when someone's going to recover by doing exactly what's outlined in their book, we can also predict when someone's going to fall back, and that is by getting rid of the steps. So I got rid of step 12, and I thought I could just pick it back up. And then I had the idea that I was like some, you know, normal person. Experienced a different part of this disease that I had never experienced before, and I became a periodic. And that was really baffling and confusing, because my whole life I had been a hardcore compulsive overeater, hope to die. I eat and then I want to die, and it wasn't like that at all. And I still had God, and I was very much in a confusion state. So I'm so very grateful that I have a malady. I have the awareness now that this disease looks like it can change different forms. And so I hope that this experience that I have now can help others as well. A cautionary tale. You know, I always believed, you know, sponsoring was so important. It was life or death. And then I thought I'd be okay because I had God, and I wasn't okay. And I do need people. So we program. And so so grateful to be living in a free state today, free from the obsession, free from compulsive overeating, in a normal body weight, and connected to God with the awareness that this disease takes many forms and it wants us dead, but will settle for whatever that looks like of an unmanageable life. So very grateful. Thank you so much, Don, and everyone who does service, and I hope everyone has a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. William W., please share with us, followed by Sandy K. Then I'll be taking some more names. If you're just joining us, we are on page 92, the second paragraph, starting with continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, reading through six sentences today, ending with, but you may talk about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. William W., please share with us, followed by Sandy K.
Hey, my name's William W. I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm on steps 10, 11, and 12, but I haven't actually started sponsoring people yet. I'm working towards that. But what I noticed, I think is really cool is, you know, in talking about your own personal experience, you kind of have to relive your own experience of, you know, step one and step two and going through the steps. And so it really, you know, I know for me, like I can forget what it was like being in my addiction, and I can say, well, that's all over, you know, that's all done with. And so I just thought it was a really cool thing how, you know, in trying to help someone, you know, it really helps me to see how much that could help me, because I have to really be connected to my own past and my own experience of addiction. And just in trying to share my experience, it helps to keep, I feel certain it will help to keep me grounded and connected to why I'm doing this. So I just, you know, I'm thinking about kind of the potential of how sponsoring, you know, in helping others will also help me. And it just seems like a really cool kind of effect where you have, you know, my own best interest and this other person's best interest are really perfectly aligned, which is, you know, rarely happens in life. So it just looks like a really cool thing, and I hope to get into sponsoring soon. That's all. I will pass.
Thank you so much, William W. from Arizona. Sandy K., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Sandy K. from Florida. What always gets me in this paragraph is the word hopelessness. Because I remember, did I say I'm a compulsive overeater? I'm a very compulsive overeater. When I went to my first meeting, I wasn't desperate, and I thought everyone was crazy. So it took me a while to go to another meeting, 50 pounds more. And I walked into the room. I remember who was speaking. I don't know exactly what he said, except he said he didn't have sugar or flour for 5 years. And I went, oh, my God, I haven't had sugar. I can't have sugar or flour for 5 minutes until I have that again. And he gave me hope. But I still didn't have desperation. So it took me a few months. I don't remember how many. It took me a few months to get abstinent. And I never understood what it meant, the gift of desperation. But reading this morning and talking to some of my sponsees the last few weeks, not everyone has the gift of desperation. And my experience for me is that if I've tried every single house on the block and the doors still don't let me in, they're still locked, and there's only one house left that I go to, I can walk into that house, but I have to walk into the house. God's going to give me the key to open it up, but I have to do the steps to literally walk into that house that will open up with the key that God gave me. But the gift of desperation, I share that with my sponsees, and even though they may be doing everything they're supposed to do, there's just something that prevents people from getting it. And if I could tell you what it was that prevented me from getting it for the first few months, I would be happy to do that. But when I was willing to give up the food, that torture, then I worked the steps, and that was a long time ago. So thank you for letting me pass to talk.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. And I'll now be taking names on people who would like to share on these six sentences on page 92, the second paragraph. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, ending, but you may talk with him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. So we do value your share, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Natalie
Larry G.
F.
Larry G. And who is that other voice?
Natalie S.
Natalie S.
S is in sunshine.
Perfect.
Laureen W.
Maureen W.
Melinda.
Rhonda.
Melinda.
Oh, Melinda, I'm sorry. And we'll stop there. Melinda, very good. So Larry F., Natalie S., Maureen W., Melinda. Larry F., please share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Larry G., as in generous, from California. I went to a doctor. I was over 335 pounds and going upwards. And I told him my story, and he walked over to the light switch in the office, and he turned it on and off a couple times. He said, "This is all you have to do, Larry. You just have to turn it off when you're getting to the point where you had enough, and then you can turn it back on next meal." And then I had a physical fitness trainer that I went to. That was another solution that I had. And he told me, "That's all about mind over matter, Larry. You just have to discipline your mind. to not entertain these thoughts of wanting to eat more. And then I had this former wife who was very abusive. And I was abusive to her too. We fought, not physically, but we fought. So I had my part. But she would just tell me, you know, all you got to do is step away from the table. You know, have a moderate amount, step away from the table. Those are all good suggestions for somebody who is a normal eater, right? Somebody who has maybe gotten into a habit of eating too much food. Maybe those are good suggestions to a normal eater, but not for somebody like me. And so when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, especially to Vision, this is a really a phenomenal program. When I first came to Vision in May of 2020, it reminded me of some of the fundamental AA groups that I would go to, where they would talk passionately about the problem and then the solution. And the solution is out of the big book. I know I've heard people say that their solution was food. Well, food was never my solution. Food, my solution was Larry, my finite self will. And so when I hear people on this phone talk, we speak the language of the heart. There's actually a book. It's called Language of the Heart. You know, you could be a banker, biker, teacher, homeless person, whatever we come from. We speak the language of the heart, and we can help each other. We can actually support each other. We can reach each other when the doctor, the coach, the wife, husband, those words just fall on deaf ears. And I have to tell you, I, for 20 years before A Vision for You, I had nothing to give. We talk about you can't transmit something that you don't have. And I rarely ever called new people, because it was always about me. I was always either planning a relapse or coming out of a relapse. And I was needing your support. So I would make phone calls for me, but not for you. And the greatest joy I have that I have discovered, the greatest joy I have
time
is picking the phone up and calling a new person and having this language of the heart. It's just the best part of my day. And I passed you, Don.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Natalie S., please share with us, followed by Laureen W.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is Natalie S. from Arizona. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me as curious about Overeaters Anonymous, I came into the program in December, and I didn't want to be part of this group. And when I'm listening to everybody, the two things that I have been interested in personally is history, right? And how everybody's interested in family history. And I find that in order to be part of a family, I need to allow myself to identify with it. And so I've been making this analogy of Overeaters Anonymous as a family. And the only, you know, we have traditions in Overeaters Anonymous. And I find it curious that the founders named them, or whoever, I don't know, I'm assuming it's founders, named it the traditions. And these are the traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And so by going and sharing our story, we're essentially sharing our history in this family. And to become part of the family, it's easy. All you need to do is identify yourself by these qualities. And I find that image so beautiful, and it just softens my heart, like Larry was talking about, this resistance I have to being like, well, and I had this with my, you know, biological family as a teenager. I don't want to be part of that family. I hate that name and yada, yada, yada. Well, this is how I can identify in and be proud of that fact and live a life of spirituality and recovery. And so that's all that was striking me today that I thought I would share. So thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Natalie S. from Arizona. Laureen W., please share with us, followed by Melinda.
Hi, this is Laureen W.
from Massachusetts. Such a compulsive overeater. I've been in program for 31 years, and I dieted myself up to 300 pounds when I entered. And I say that way because that's what I did most of my life. Even when I was a young person, somebody, whether it was my mother or whomever, or myself, that would put myself on a diet and start then. And boy, what a fallacy that was. You know, I would wait, lose and gain and gain and lose and up and down. It was such a humiliating experience all of my life. Humiliating. And yes, I've had doctors tell me, I'll put you on an 800 calorie diet and you'll lose weight. I had another doctor tell me that it's all right. He said, you're able, a gynecologist, you're able to get pregnant, but you're going to have a hard time getting a guy to get you that way. You know, all these terrible experiences I had until I came to OA. And it is a very, very difficult disease to deal with. Very difficult. I've had sponsors, lost a couple of sponsors, and still have a couple. I have sponsees, and I've worked the 12 steps with a couple of them and been very successful with that, with them, up until this time, only because I try to put God in their hands. But I, too, have a problem with the disease that I have tried to sabotage my food plan, which leads me into compulsive overeating some products that aren't sugar and aren't flour, but yet they can become compulsive with me. And it's very challenging, very challenging. I've lost over 120 pounds, and yet I still feel as though I need to lose more. Only because I want to be healthy. And now my time is up, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Laureen W. Melinda, please share with us. You have about a minute to share.
Okay, thank you. Melinda H. of in Horse in Virginia. Perfect topic for me today. I was with someone yesterday who cannot see the effects of their disease, are in total denial. And, you know, this morning I was having impulsive thoughts. I maybe that's not the right word, but anyway, about, you know, how can I help her? How can I help her child? And really, you know, it's still the same message over and over again, which is, all I can do is share my own experience, strength, and hope. You know, I am currently in relapse, but that doesn't mean that I don't have anything of worth to say. One time I did have someone in OA tell me that you don't have anything to help somebody with. But anyway, so stay on my side of the street. Strength and hope. Keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Melinda. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read page 164, followed by, after that we'll have the Serenity Prayer. Please read, Lorraine.
Yes, good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. So grateful to be at a Visions meeting this morning. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.